Good morning. Welcome to church. You happy to be here? John's happy up top. We're all happy to be here, and why wouldn't we be? We have Jesus, and we're here to worship him today. We call on his name. Since we're all in, let's all just pray here and just bring our worship to Christ. God, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the music that you've given to this congregation to lift your name together, to bring praise to you today, God. And we bring it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand and sing with us? Your name.
Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it?
Yeah.
Scripture reading this morning is found in Psalms 78, the first seven verses, and they go like this morning. Just follow along with us this morning. O my people, hear my teachings. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things from the old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and his wonders he has done. His decree statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn will tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments. Let's bow our heads this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, today. We thank you for Mother's Day. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to honor our mothers this day, Lord Jesus. And thank you for them, Lord. And bless them this day, Lord Jesus, we pray. Each and every one within the sound of my voice today, Lord Jesus. Touch our lives this morning, God, with your word. Lord Jesus, encourage our hearts, challenge our hearts, and Lord Jesus, just do a work within us, Lord, that only you are able to do. We commit the service into your hands, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Here's a new song that I hope you have heard on the radio and you can sing along with us. It requires a little imagination to, as you're singing this song, to get the full effect of it. And as we sing, pay attention to the words and see a picture in your mind of joining a multitude of angels, just praising, falling down, and worshiping God.
Gathered at the highest throne, welcomed by a melody, an anthem I have always known, a song that's always been in me. Oh, glory and honor, dominion and power to you. A million angels fall, face down on the floor, all to echo, holy is the Lord. My heart can't help but sing with all of heaven roar, forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, oh, forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, oh, forever echo, holy is the Lord.
Memorized by in eternity, every lifted voice apart, joining in the symphony. All glory and honor, dominion and power to you.
Just fall.
hard to imagine, but we thank God that as powerful as he is, and as much honor and glory as he deserves, he still loves us individually. He speaks into our lives, and he brings us closer to him.
Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. He is jealous for me. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Some of us, those years are longer than others, and they click by 1 year at a time, and each year we have our own traditions here on earth of singing a song for each other, and today is Donna Littlefield's birthday, and I would like us to sing together happy birthday, and we know, and I think sometimes I hate singing happy birthday at church just because there's so many birthdays. But, you know, God has, like I said, given us year after year after year. And every birthday, for me, every birthday is another year of grace that God has shown and mercy that he's just cast over everything in your life. And I know the older I get, the more I realize that. And so I think it's special, and we should celebrate every year that he's given to Donna, and he's given a year to all of us, and he's spoken grace and mercy over our lives. And so let's just sing this song, and happy birthday, Donna.
Happy birthday to you.
Woo!
Happy birthday to you.
Woo!
Happy birthday, dear Donna. Happy birthday to you.
Gentlemen, Seth, I was wondering where you were going with that one. I was giving you just enough rope to hang yourself there. So, hey, ladies, happy Mother's Day to you. I was going to say happy birthday. Ladies, happy Mother's Day to all of you. What a joy it is to have you with us today. You'll notice in our order of worship in just a moment, we're going to have, as we do every year, an open mic and opportunities for testimonies about our mothers. And if you would like to share anything like that today, I just tell you about that right now so you can be thinking about this and processing this. If you'd like to share anything while we go to the next portion of our service today, and that is where we just want to take this time to honor you and thank you and to give you a token gift on our behalf to recognize you and to praise the Lord for you today. So, kids, you know what we do at this time of the service on Mother's Day, right? Come up and join me up here because we have some gifts for our moms, especially if your mom is here with you in church today. Girls, don't just reach over the pew, okay? Come up here and get one for your mom. All righty. Guys, open the boxes, okay? Take one, bring it back to your mom. And then when you're done, because not everybody has a child with them in church today, come back up because we need your help to make sure all the ladies in the church have a gift today. Now, ladies, as you are getting this, there's one little caveat to the gift, okay? Please do not open it until you leave church today. Okay? And once you open it, especially if you have children, you'll know what I'm talking about at that time. All right, so just hold on to the gift right now. And hold on, we got other. Let me see what's in here. All righty, and folks, if you don't have one, ladies, if you do not have one, raise your hand so the kids can see that you don't have one, okay? And we want to make sure that all the ladies in our church fellowship today have a gift from us. All righty. All the ladies, okay? So, here we go. All righty. If you don't have one, hold your hands up. Hold your hands up, okay? And also, at the end of the service today, hold your hands up so the kids can see. Kids, look around for that. I still see several hands raised up there, okay? At the end of our service today, if we still have additional gifts, and I suspect we will, if you are, after the service today, if you are going out to visit somebody, maybe you're going out to visit your mother or somebody who is a mother, go ahead and grab any additional leftovers we have so that you can bring them along with you and be a blessing to somebody else today. All righty. Are we wrapping up here? Ladies, anybody else not have one? Okay. By the looks of it, all the ladies have a gift. Alrighty. Hey, guys, thank you very much for helping out today. We really appreciate it. Yeah, you can go ahead and put it back. Alrighty. Now, for the next portion of our service, we want to, as the children are finding their way back to their seats, there we go. So. All right, Ben, when you become a mother, you can have one, okay, buddy? There we go. All right, hey, let's get ready to pass the microphone around a little bit today. Hey, Brian, this is your job, buddy. The microphone is on. It is time for some testimonies. Let's allow a few minutes for this. If you have a word that you would like to share publicly about your mom, and even if your mom is not with you today, okay, even if you're going to visit her sometimes a little bit later, that's my grandbaby coming right there, okay? Alrighty. And, all right, I was just distracted. What was I talking about? If your mom is with you today, if you're going to visit her later today, or maybe you're here today and your mom is with Jesus today, it doesn't matter. What we want to hear testimonies of our mothers and the gifts that they have given to us, and they have been that the Lord has given to us in them. And you have heard this before. You hear this from me every year, okay? So this is not new at this time with regards to the sharing of a testimony. I do happen to know for a fact that every single one of you here today has a mother, okay? I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying that. What can we share? What can you share today about your mother and the gift that she was to you? All right, folks. Who would like to go first? Don't be shy. Alrighty. Thank you. Let's do several of these before we go to our special music this morning.
Today's a very special day. It's been 29 years since my mom went to heaven. And I got to say, I thank Jesus every day because for my salvation, because he blessed me with a beautiful mom. She was kind, giving. And I see her fruits in my daughters, and I just thank the Lord for her.
Amen. What was it? Was it today you said that she?
29 years ago.
Really? Okay. All righty. Another? Don't be shy. Come on, don't be shy. All right. Donna, happy birthday, dear. She wants the microphone this morning.
Yes, I was a present to my mother. I was born the night before Mother's Day. Our mother had seven children, and she was the most patient, kind lady on the earth. She fixed thousands and thousands of meals and never complained. And she always got us ready for church on Sundays. And back in the days before permanent press shirts, our brothers... The three brothers had very neatly pressed shirts thanks to her hard work. So we just thank and praise the Lord for our mother. She went to heaven 6 years ago.
Oh. It's been that long, Donna. Okay. And we see Eleanor in you also, Donna. Thank you, dear. Another one? One more. Another one? Don't be shy.
I want to thank the Lord for one of the most wonderful moms in the world. I know everybody says their mom was the best, but I'm sorry, I had the best one. For me. I thank the Lord also for the many ladies that came around me when my mom lived too many hours away to help me mother my kids, that taught me little things along the way. My pastor's wife, as my children were little, was a great mentor to me. And I just love watching my children mother their children. And then I sit back and I said, I guess I did it pretty good. But I thank the Lord for everything he's given to me because the doctor said I never would be a mother, and I've got four babies that are miracles. So I'm grateful.
Amen. Paula, thank you, dear. All righty. Folks, happy Mother's Day to you. And love on them real good today. There's going to be a little change of order of service at this point. We're not going to be going to our video clip right now. We're going to save that for a few minutes. But right now, I want to hand things over to Jennifer, and she is going to... Brian, can I have that microphone? And Jennifer is going to tell us what we've got coming up next. Folks, you may want to make avail yourself to the bulletin insert in your bulletin at this time also. Thank you for
this. Either before or before the offertory, it has to do with what I'm playing during the offertory.
Okay.
I'm pleased to announce that for those of you who really don't like coming up front and facing everybody that way, you don't have to do that. So we're going to continue with what we've done the last couple of years. If all the gentlemen would stand right where you're at, you're going to sing a song. This is Mother's Day, and this song you're going to be singing. Come on, Cam. That's right. There you go. You're going to be singing to the... Thank you, Tyler. We're going to be singing to the moms and the ladies in the congregation. We do this every year on Mother's Day. So for most of you, it won't come as a huge surprise. To others, it might say, ooh. So no solos, no really exciting things other than the song. It's really a good song, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And at some point... Not during the sermon, please, but at some point, please read the insert in the bulletin on the back side. It's all about Julia Ward Howe. Very interesting story as to how the Battle Hymn of the Republic came to be. If you guys don't like following the words that will be on the screen, you can hold your hymnals. It is in the hymnal. So on page 569, that's where I'm going right now. And just to tell you how we're going to be singing this song, or how you're going to be singing this song, you're going to sing the first verse, no chorus. Go right into the second verse, verse 1, verse 2. Then you can sing the chorus. Then we're going to sing verse 3 and the chorus again. Now, the first two verses are very rip-roaring, and they're very like a march would be. And they're staccato, and they're broad, and it's very exciting. On the third verse, I'll ask if you will please sing slower and more like a lullaby. It's very sweet and very calming. And if you could... not sing it with a staccato sound, but singing in the beauty of the lilies. You know, sing it straight forward. Okay? Just follow me on, and I'll play on the piano, and you'll sing, and I know you'll do a great job. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm going to thank you. Ladies, should we let them do this again next year? Should the Lord tarry, we're all here. We'll let you sing special music again next year. Gentlemen, would you please join me up front at this time? We're going to be taking up our offering right now. And Jennifer has wanted me to let you folks know that the offering she's going to be playing right now for us as we prepare to take up our offering is a familiar favorite of ours. It was also her mother, Dorothea. That's your mom? Dorothea. This would have been a favorite of hers. It would have been one of Lee's favorites and Lee's grandmother, Elna. Is that correct? Elna. So this is a favorite of a lot of folks. All right, Jennifer will be playing for our offertory in just a moment. Let's pray together, and we will prepare to worship our Lord now in the gifts that we bring forth. Our blessed Lord, thank you for our many, many riches, our many blessings. Lord, you are so good to us every day. Your grace abounds, your love supersedes. Your mercies are many, they are new every morning. And we thank you for the very most precious gift of all, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the life that is ours in and through him. Lord, the gifts that we take up this day and we present to you is an act of worship. Lord, we do not do this so that we would get more. Lord, we do this in humble adoration to your name because you first gave to us. So, Lord, we present you now with the very first fruits, the very best. Lord, receive the gifts of your people today in this humble and this thankful act of worship. We present it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jennifer. All right, have the children been dismissed to junior church? They have? All righty. Oh, no, there they go. All right. Children, you are dismissed for junior church at this time. Folks, again, I draw your attention to the insert that was in your bulletin today. Just take a very quick peek at that. We want to show you a little movie trailer. I think it's like about a minute and a half long. This will not be long at all. You are probably very well aware, as I am also, of the news that has been permeating the news cycle this week and what's happening on the high court. And also, just a little Before I even say anything about it, that which we put in your bulletin today and the announcement that we made last week about this movie, this was all pre what happened this week. We had no clue what was coming up, obviously. So we just want to put this in your hands today. Take a little peek there at the copy in the center section about the movie. It says, abortion is the most controversial issue of modern times, and we stand at a crucial point where the issue is being challenged in the highest courts. Well, we've seen that, haven't we? More than ever, it is important for everyone to know where they stand on abortion and why. It is time for Christians to understand the pro-life case and form beliefs on more than what is said in the media. So not only what we believe, but why we believe what we believe and what the Word of God says on this. So there is the movie that is coming out in Newington early next week, May 16, 17. There's a QR code on there if you want to just scan that and take a peek at it. Not right now, though. But are we all set to go to run the... we are all set to go. About a minute and a half, so just sit back.
I think this is the battleground culture issue in America today.
How is it that we can trust an organization for whom abortion is such an important part of their business model to simultaneously effectively prevent pregnancy and prevent abortion?
The problem in America today is that people simply change the topic. The key to successfully talking about abortion is to try to bring the conversation back to one key question.
When you're an obstetrician gynecologist and you're pro-choice, you have to decide whether you're actually going to do those abortions.
I believe that being pro-life is the most progressive value that we can have.
The abortion industry is most threatened by Christians engaging in pro-life work.
Finding that pregnancy center was the only person I had to support me at that time.
We need to show the world that number one on our list is our interest in serving these moms.
She's got to know when she takes that pregnancy test that her church is not going to try to treat her like the Pharisees tried to treat the woman caught in adultery.
As a church, we can't just vote pro-life, we have to be pro-love.
That's going to be May 16th and 17th in the movie theater down in Newington, if you are interested in more information and viewing that that production. With your copy of Our Father's Word, join me, if you will, this morning in the two books of Acts and 2 Timothy. Acts and 2 Timothy. We're going to get there in just a moment on this Mother's Day as we take a look at some very significant texts here and what they would have to say to us today and what the Spirit of God would have for us to know in God's sacred word. Can we pray together? And then as we thank the Lord for our mothers and we honor them, we want to also encourage them and all of you in regards to the in the sacred text of what the Lord has to say to us this day. Let's pray together, and then we'll study. Lord, on this beautiful day, this first day of the week, where the church comes together now to be found in your word and what you have to reveal to us there, Lord, my prayer is that our minds would be focused and sharpened and in tune to our being immersed now in your holy word. I pray, Lord, that you would take the words of the text and massage them into our hearts and our spiritual understanding. I pray, Lord, in these few brief moments, that we could rejoice in the thought that we now have this day the freedom to come into this book, to examine its truths, to praise you and worship you, the author of the sacred text. And Lord, I just pray that as a result of this study today, we would be encouraged and hopeful. Yet, Lord, we would also take very seriously the responsibility that you have given to us, as the psalmist told us as we began our morning together, as we pass its truths on to the generations that come after us. We hold it forth to them, Lord, that we may train those who do come after us in the truth of your word. And yes, even in a society and in a culture that attempts to disparage your holy word, Lord, we hold it high as inspired and truthful and given of your Holy Spirit. These are words of life and they are words of light. Lord, now we pray that your Holy Spirit would direct us in the study of your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week, I read the words of a colonial clergyman when he wrote, "Men are what their mothers make of them." It's very interesting. Along with that, I came across this, to which I personally would speak a resounding amen to. "An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy." And there's a lot of pounds of clergy here, folks, I got to tell you. But what you bring to the table is far more significant than anything I could ever deliver, because they live with you. I will come along to support you and encourage you, maybe answer some questions here and there as it relates to Scripture. But home is that's where the beating heart is at. Scripture gives to us these little vignettes of moms throughout Old and New Testament alike, and what they were like and things that they did. I think, for example, the lady by the name of Jochebed. She was the mother of Moses in the book of Exodus. This dear lady was willing to go so far as to violate man's ungodly and unrighteous laws in order to save her son and at least begin nurturing him in the faith of his people. Or maybe it was the sacrificial love of a lady who appeared before King Solomon and told him that she was actually willing for her child to be taken away from her rather than to see any harm come to it. I think of the mother of James and John, who wanted her boys, in a rather peculiar request that she brings to Jesus, wants her boys to be able to sit at his side in Jesus' heavenly kingdom. And then there's the mother of a king by the name of Lemuel. Proverbs chapter 31, she gives to her son advice on what to look for in a godly woman. I've been preaching Mother's Day sermons for almost 3.5 decades now. I got to tell you, they're very different today than they were 3.5 decades ago. I have learned quite a few things from you ladies out there about Mother's Day. And I have discovered that there are varying responses to Mother's Day, varying thoughts and emotions that are attached to Mother's Day. It does elicit different responses from different people. For some, maybe they have always wanted to be a mother and are unable to, and this is a very difficult day for them. Maybe you are here today or listening online, and maybe, just maybe, you have not had the very best mother in the world, and this day might be especially difficult for you. Maybe you're here today and your mom is no longer with us because she's with Jesus today. You are joyous on the one hand, yet saddened in another. Some mothers have lost a child or children to death. This is a difficult day for them. Some feel the twang and the pain of Mother's Day if they have maybe a wayward child. And a day like this is especially difficult. And for some dear ladies, they are going at this whole thing with regards to training and raising their children, going at it as a solo flight. Some dear ladies have an absentee partner, and that is especially difficult. I'd like to introduce you this morning to a lady by the name of Eunice. Eunice is her name, and I want to chat a little bit about her mom, too. Eunice's mom, her name is Lois, and we want to talk about their boy, Eunice's boy. I'm going to talk about little Timmy for a little bit today. The New Testament book of Acts, chapter 16, join me there if you will, and then we're going to move very quickly on to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just let me read the text, and then we're going to set up a little bit of context to what we're dealing with here today, and then we're going to look at three fundamental principles I see that we can observe in the text this morning. Acts chapter 16, the word of God reads like this. We begin at verse 1. Paul is now on his second missionary journey, okay? Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy. Now look what it says about him. The son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him now on his missionary journey. This would be his second one. Go over with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and just find verse 5. Verse 5 alone this morning. 2 Timothy 1:5. This is the Apostle Paul's final canonical letter. This is the last bit of information we have from his pen before his life was taken. And he writes to his disciple, Timothy. And he says in verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Well, let's talk about Eunice a little bit before we get to Timothy. Eunice would have been raised in a religious home. We know that because the text tells us that she was Jewish, so she would have been raised in a Jewish home. Lois would have taught her, good Jewish mother that she was, she would have taught her her little daughter from the Bible, and I take that to be the Old Testament. As she was growing up and young, she would have gone to Jewish services. I am sure she would have learned about God. As Eunice approaches a marriageable age, she becomes attracted to a young man who is not Jewish. The scripture tells us that he is a Greek. It says, but his father was a Greek. So what are we dealing with here? Well, first of all, we're starting off with a mixed marriage. Maybe against the best wishes of her mother, Lois, and the teaching of the family faith. Maybe there was this tug at her consciousness. She gave in and she married this Greek fella anyways. Well, in time, Eunice and her husband, he is not named, have a little boy. We're going to call him little Timmy. All righty. Moving forward, we don't have a whole lot of information about Timothy's dad. Did he pass away? No, the text doesn't say that, and it doesn't not say that. We don't know. Was he an absentee father? Once again, the text does not say that. We don't know. We are not given that information. All the text tells us is, but his father was a Greek. That we do have. We know that Timothy came to faith and was greatly influenced in matters of faith in the role of his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. That we do know. These ladies played a very significant role in Timothy's upbringing and the passing on of his faith. Acts chapter 16, verse 2 says that he is spoken well of by the brothers. He's spoken well of in the communities of Lystra and Iconium. So by the time that Timothy had grown up to be somewhat of a young man, he had developed this reputation in the neighboring communities where he lived. He grew up in Lystra. And just the mention of his name, of Timothy's name, would have brought positive reports. I would suspect that his mother and his grandmother probably spent a significant amount of hours teaching him in the faith of their fathers, telling him stories from the Old Testament, praying with him, praying for him, teaching him the things of God. And I say that because 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 tells us of his, or Paul mentions his sincere faith. The word sincere means unhypocritical. It means unfeigned. And Eunice is doing this. Lois and Eunice are doing this without the help of VeggieTales and a Keepers of the Faith program or an Awana program. Yet we seem to get this picture that they had developed this environment, this space in which Timothy could flourish in spiritual things. One day, in Acts chapter 14, an itinerant preacher comes into town. His name is Paul. He makes his way to the towns of Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, and he's talking about this person called Jesus, who is the Christ, the anticipated Messiah. And we know that Peter and Paul's messages were always about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as was Paul's custom, whenever he would go into a new community, he would always look for the Jewish synagogue, and there he would have ministry there. Acts chapter 14 tells us he did the very same thing, and the Bible says that a great many Jews and Greeks came to faith at that time in Acts chapter 14. This would have been the hometown of Timothy, this Lystra. This is where Eunice and Lois lived also. They would have encountered the Apostle Paul, listening to what he had to say. Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament messianic promises. They would have come to faith at this time. And I take it also that they would have passed this faith on to Timothy, because by the time we get to Paul's second missionary journey in Acts chapter 16, Timothy is a young man of faith at that time. Later, Paul decides that he wants to partner with Timothy. He wants Timothy to come along with him on his second missionary journey in Acts chapter 16. Many years later, at the close of the great apostle's life, he will pen two letters, specifically this one, 2 Timothy. And in the letter as a whole, we read of instructions from the great apostle to his young disciple here, of instructions with regards to how to govern churches, select leaders and elders within the church. Paul takes the opportunity to reminisce with young Timothy about their life together. And then he also reminds Timothy of the godly ladies in his life who had made an impact upon him. So that is just a little bit of the background that draws us to the major portion of today's message. What was it that these two dear ladies instilled in the life of this young man that made him the person that he was? That made him the person that the Apostle Paul would take notice and see within this one who is called a disciple, by the way. Timothy's called a disciple, not just a believer. He is a disciple of Jesus Christ. And what was it that Paul saw in him that he would want to take him along on this next missionary journey? You know, I'm just thinking through the process myself, and Paul had already had a very difficult experience with a young man by the name of John Mark. So as he now selects his next assistant to come along with him, and now Silas also, he was probably very careful in who he was going to pick next. And there was something about young Timothy that he saw, that he wanted him to accompany them. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you're in 2 Timothy 1, go over a page or two in your Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 3. One of the things that we see going on in this text of Scripture was the instilling of an intentional respect for Scripture, for the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 12. Paul starts off and he says there, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Well, Timothy would have known this already, because in Acts chapter 14, when Paul was in Lystra and Derbe, actually when he was in Derbe, he was left for dead. Timothy would have been aware of that situation, would have seen the sufferings of Paul, and actually by this time in his life, would have known very clearly of the suffering of the Christian, the disciple of Jesus. But verse 14 is what for us I'd like for us to look at. In light of the fact that all who want to live a godly life for Christ Jesus will be persecuted, verse 14 now says, but as for you, Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Continue in what you have learned, young Timothy. This is what I want you to know. Timothy not only learned things cognitively, but he would have become also convinced of the truthfulness of the Word of God. The Scriptures say the sacred writings, that in which he was trained in, the truth that had been given to him, that is wise unto salvation. And I can just see Eunice and her mom Lois training young Timothy in this which he had received at home. Look at the Scriptures again. It says, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. That is the word brephos. Sometimes that word is translated the unborn. Sometimes that word is translated infant. Other times, brephos is translated as a child in the arms. Sometimes it's translated as a toddler. The point being is that from the very beginning, Timothy was being formed in the truth of the Word of God. From the very beginning, Lois and Eunice teamed up, and these ladies must have provided some type of high-powered Bible study fellowship for this little guy early on. I can just see this Jewish mother and Jewish grandmother talking to little Timothy about the stories of Scripture, their great King David, and maybe the story of Ruth, the stories of Abraham and of Noah, and of Samuel, and gave him the opportunity to be exposed, created that space in which this young boy could grow up into a young man around the things of the Word of God. And being Jewish as they were, they would have known the great Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and following. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And these commandments I give to you today that are to be upon your hearts. And it says, impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Or in other words, keep the word of God before them as you do life. So as I read a text of scripture like that, I can just see a mom who looks for those opportunities to instill and implant and to nurture faith in the life of her child or the life of her children. That they would see mom praying regularly. That would be a very powerful visual component in that faith-nurturing relationship. That they would also see mom studying the Holy Scriptures. That would have been a powerful thing for a young boy to see and to observe. Or maybe it's a mom who is sharing the story of her life and her faith walk with the Lord. Maybe sharing a testimony with others as to how God answers prayer and how God provides and how the Lord is just so good to them all the time. And young Timothy has, this space has been created for him to see this and to observe this, not only in the truth of the Jewish faith, but after Acts chapter 14 in the things of Jesus as the faith is being passed on to him. And Paul reminds him now in 2 Timothy of the faith in which he had grown up in, the word of God that had been planted in him. So to those of you who are here today, moms and grandmas and great-grandmas, and those of you watching by means of the live feed, I would simply say it is simply never too early to start teaching your children about the Lord. And it is never too late if you already haven't. There is absolutely nothing that can replace, ladies, there's nothing that can replace you in the life of that child to instill this very high view of Scripture in their life, regardless of how old they are. For it is true, and once again, I give a resounding amen to the truth that an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. I can come alongside you to encourage and to support and to pray for you. I will never take your place in your home. Four scholars, teachers of Scripture, were one day debating over Bible translations. This one particular fellow preferred the King James Version. He liked the King's English, the Old English. He loved the beauty and the eloquence of the King's language. And I've also discovered it tends to be a little bit easier to memorize. Another says he prefers the New American Standard Bible, great Bible version, by the way, for its literalism, its accuracy. And another says, well, you know, I prefer the New Living Translation. I like the contemporary phrases. I like the idioms that it uses. Kind of makes a somewhat difficult passage of Bible to read a little bit easier to understand. I kind of prefer the New Living Translation. The fourth guy chimes in after having listened to the other three. And he says, personally, I prefer, you know, my mother's translation. The others sort of kind of laugh a bit at him. And they ask him about it. He says, you mean your mother translated the Scriptures? He says, yes, my mother translated the Scriptures. She translated the Scriptures, each and every page of the Bible, into her life. And it was the most convincing translation I have ever read. So it was not just mom being in the Word. It was the Word being in mom. And it made the difference there. Keep instilling that high, high view of Scripture in their lives, and especially in these days in which we live today. You probably saw the images, as well as I did, of the events that transpired and unfolded this week with regards to what might be coming out of the Supreme Court as it relates to the Roe v. Wade matter. And one of the things that we saw this week was the disturbing vitriol and anger and violence against things of the truth of the Word of God and what the Word of God says about human life And it's almost as if the gates of hell were opened up and the demons came pouring forth in vitriolic rhetoric and even coming from our nation's leaders, if you can believe that. And the signs that they're holding up, devaluing human life of those who are made in the image of God. And along with that, because we're talking about the scriptures right now, I would say the very same thing is happening now, today, and has been happening for years, with regards to the demeaning and the discrediting of the truth of Scripture. There are many who try to frame this volume as unreliable and is filled with myths and fantasies. It's a document of yesteryear, and it's not for sophisticated people like us. Remind them often that this is the Word of God. God has spoken. God has revealed Himself. Revelation is found in this volume. And teach them that it is true and that it will never, ever lead them astray. And be intentional, doing it on purpose. Because, folks, I got to tell you, and you know just as well as I do, I don't have to rehearse this at any great length for you. You know it as well as I do, that there is a movement afoot today that will attempt to take our children and lie to them and lead them astray. And they are intentional in their plans and their purposes. We need to be intentional in the things that we teach them and have answers for them and to let them know of what's going to be coming at them and to train them and to prepare them. This morning, I was in my office preparing for our time together today, and all of you were in Sunday school, It's quiet down by the offices that time of the morning. It's right across from the nursery. And I hear my wife and I hear Mary, and they're singing to Emmett. These beautiful, gentle little songs of our faith. And they had no idea that I was crying in my office, thinking, we had just one little boy. These two ladies who love him. And they want him to know the truth of how much Jesus loves him. And in this safe space today, we could nurture faith in the life of a little boy. But I know that with the passing of time, the whirlwind of lies and untruth are going to come upon all of our children and our grandchildren. And we need to prepare them intentionally and on purpose that the Word of God is true and it will never lead us astray. We see that in the life of Timothy. There was the intentional, purposeful, high view of Scripture. Secondly, I would say being intentional in instilling an authentic faith back to 2 Timothy 1:5. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, you could read there, unhypocritical if you want, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. That this matter of faith was theirs. They were passing it on to the next generation. But there was going to come a point in time when Timothy was going to have to make that decision on his own. We do not give birth to Christians. Have you discovered that? We give birth to sinners who are in need of a Savior. So Eunice's faith, Lois's faith, had to become Timothy's faith. And they would model that faith. They would create that environment where that sort of thing could happen. The Bible says, Paul says to Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. Your faith that is unhypocritical, that is without pretense, that is not a false facade. Faith has taken up residence in you, I am convinced, Timothy. And it was the faith that was found also in your mother and in your grandmother. These two dear ladies were completely sold out to Jesus Christ. Dropped dead serious about their faith. Fully devoted and committed to matters of faith. And they were training their child and grandchild in that very same thing. And you'll notice in the text also, I don't want to make too much of an argument from silence, but we do not read anything about a father or a grandfather. I'm not saying that they weren't a part of the picture or a significant. I'm just saying that we don't read anything about it. All we read is, but he was a Greek. That's all we've got. These two dear ladies might very well have been going at it alone. But faith was something they were going to pass on to Timothy, and it shows. This matter of faith is something that they need to see in us as being genuine. Trust me on this. Trust me on this. If we are simply going through the motions, these kids are sharp. They're going to pick up on that. Model for them that sincere and genuine faith. Pray for them. Nurture them. Because if we don't, the world is going to want to nurture them in truth, in untruth, and in falsehoods. Help them grow spiritually. Participate with them in the mission and the program of the church. Send that strong message to them. And what was important to these moms, this mama, this grandmother, that their boy would come to know Jesus, that was more important to them than the other things of the world or the things of the world that we see pushed upon our children today. It was Timothy's soul was more important than any label that you could find on his clothing or our clothing today. His eternal life is more important than his life's success, or at least in the way the world defines success. His life, his eternal life and his soul was so much more important than that. Our children's relationship with Jesus is so much more important than their growing in popularity with the things of the world. Our children standing before God is so much more important than their social status before the world. And our children's spirituality is so much more important than any kind of academic or intellectual or athletic accomplishments they may attain. It is their walk with Jesus. That's where it's at. That is what will change their lives. And as these godly ladies pass this on to him, and I suspect also that they would have had to have been praying ladies. Acts chapter 2 verse 12, we read the story of John Mark's mother. She opens her house to prayer. They were praying for Peter when he was incarcerated in Acts chapter 12. Jesus' mother, Mary, Acts chapter 1, verse 14, she was found, the Bible says, joined together constantly in prayer with the disciples. That was a hallmark of a godly mother. Timothy's family environment was fertile for faith development. Being intentional with a high view of Scripture, being intentional with the development of faith, and let me add just one more, and I'm going to set you go after this one, is being intentional to teach them how to serve others, how to serve Jesus. This world is going, I guarantee you, will teach our children how to take. Because the world owes you something. So you take and you take. A godly parent teaches their children service and giving. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, Paul's second missionary journey, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, father was a Greek. Their brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. There's something he saw in this young man. You come along with me. And he did. I don't have time to rehearse for you so many of the things that Scripture tells us about what Timothy did along with Paul. I'm just going to mention just one of them because we have been there just recently. Because we are concluding on Sunday mornings, we're concluding our study through 2 Thessalonians. And I want to make one very quick reference to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and Paul's mention of Timothy. And you've heard this before on Sunday mornings. One of the things that Paul did was because he was so concerned about the persecution that had come upon the Thessalonians as he's moving along on his missionary journeys, he has now arrived in Athens. He's wondering, I wonder how they're doing back there in Thessalonica. I can't sleep nights. I need to know how they're doing. So he says to Timothy, Timothy, you travel back to Thessalonica. I need to know how they're doing. And you need to go and encourage them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind to Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith. So Paul says to Timothy, back to Thessalonica, boy, and bring back a report. I want to know what's going on there and encourage the saints while you're there. Service unto the Lord. That does not mean that all children will become missionaries or pastors or anything like that. Some of them may. But teaching them service in a world that only knows about taking. Teach them to give. A high view of Scripture. To live faith on purpose. And then lastly, a high and intentional view of Scripture. Later, the Apostle Paul writes about Timothy in 1 Corinthians 4:17. He says, Timothy, my beloved son. In 1 Timothy 1:2, he calls him my own son in the faith. You kind of get this picture of intimacy. He says to the Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Paul has a very high view of Timothy. Moms, grandmas, those of you here present, those of you joining us online today, let's instill within those who come after us a high view of the Word of God. A high view of authentic faith. May they see it in us. And lastly, a high view of service. The story is told of Susanna Wesley. You may be familiar with this story too. This lady had 19 kids. 19. She herself was one of 25 children. These poor ladies are like pregnant all their lives. And the story about Susanna Wesley is that she would devote an hour every single day to pray for her children. Now, not 1 hour per child. 1 hour per day for all of them. Actually, the truth of the matter is many of them died shortly after childbirth. Just do the math. 19 into 60 minutes. 3 minutes a day. Are you willing to do at least 3 minutes a day in prayer for your child? And many of you who are here say, of course, Pastor. I'm more than willing to do that. I do more than that. But you got to believe it was through the godly prayers of Susanna Wesley that a John Wesley and a Charles Wesley could rise up and have an impact for Christ, not only in their native England, but in America as well. I take it because of a praying mother. And moms, more than ever, hold your children before the throne of grace in these godless days in which we live today. Train them in truth, a high view of the Word of God. Train them in matters of faith, that this faith thing, it has to become yours. son, daughter, you were not born a Christian. You were born a sinner. You need Jesus in your life too. And train them that the world is not all about them and just taking and receiving. Teach them how to serve and to give of themselves. Proverbs 31:28, her children rise up and call her blessed. This morning, ladies, those of you who follow the dictate and the injunction of Scripture, I rise up today and I call you blessed and I thank you. Proverbs 31:30, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I thank you today in your service to the Lord as you nurture faith in your children and build this legacy of Christ in them. Ladies, today, happy Mother's Day, and thank you all. God bless you. Let's pray together. Lord, on this Mother's Day, I thank you for the dear and the cherished ladies who are here in our presence today, and those who are doing the work, the hard work, the joyous work of training faith in their children. Lord, I pray for that little one right now. May she see faith in us. And Lord, in these days in which we live, may Christ be alive in us and through us, because of us. Lord, have your way with us. Lord, bless these ladies, I pray. Encourage them in the truth. Encourage them in the difficult, and challenging days. Encourage them when the world is presenting a different message. Lord, help them to be strong and bold and courageous, I pray, in the things of Jesus. May your blessings rest upon their homes and their families. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, I'm going to direct you to your chorus book as we close this morning. Your chorus book is number 229. For those of you who are joining us at home, if you have a chorus book or a hymnal that has choruses in it, we are singing together the very brief little chorus entitled, Find Us Faithful. For those of us here present this morning, is 227 in your chorus book. Please stand with me. Let's worship together and we'll dismiss. Lord, I pray your blessings upon this faithful group this day. Lord, go with them as they depart today, as they depart with joy and gladness, a people of faith, a people who love you, a people in the Word. Lord, strengthen their homes and their families, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Have a blessed day in the Lord. Moms, happy Mother's Day to you.